widows who are genuinely widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness towards their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The real widow, left all alone, has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this also, so they won't be blamed. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is, his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow should be placed on the official support list unless she is at least 60 years old, has been the wife of one husband, and is well known for good works, that is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when they are drawn away from Christ by desire, they want to marry, and will therefore receive condemnation because they have renounced their original pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, and give the adversary no opportunity to accuse us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows in her family, she should help them, and the church should not be burdened, so that it can help those who are genuinely widows.
It's great to be here looking at this part of God's words. My name's Andrew, although you might know me as AB from the charts just seen. And I respond to AB. In fact, I don't get called AB enough. I kind of like it. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at your word, and as we've just seen in over the last few weeks, how Christ came into the world to save sinners like all of us, and how it is that Christ set up his church, and how it is now we find out what he wants us to do with widows. We pray that you'd help us to have a greater insight and to know how to live and how to respond and what to do. Particularly pray for anyone this is very close to, that it might be a good word for them. But for all of us, that we might be prepared and we might have a heart that beats after your heart. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, think about honouring widows today. And I just want to think about widows in the world. The loss of a spouse is huge. It's someone who you walk with for your whole life, and it's someone who God has brought together, and actually God brings together spiritually. It's not just a human decision. It's God gives, Malachi says, a portion of his spirit in the marriage. It's actually a joining. The two become one. And so when something breaks that union, there's a real devastation. I don't know if you've heard about the idea of a two-week cycle, the media cycle. You know, an event happens, and then 2 weeks later, it might run for a few weeks, but 2 weeks later, no one wants to hear it again. Sometimes the way we treat other people's suffering is like the two-week cycle, isn't it? That's just, we don't understand. But they've gone through something, and it's real, and it's not a two-week cycle for a widow. It's a suffering that is deep and profound, and the loss is huge. Now today I would love to be able to give a talk on how to help people and the things to say, but maybe an even longer talk on the things not to say. But that's not the talk I'm going to give today. Not talking so much about the loss and that side of things, but the need to care for widows. And this is particularly a passage about the financial needs of widows and other things. But not every widow has financial needs. For instance, the richest person in Australia is who? Gina Rinehart. The richest Australian, not man, not woman, the richest Australian alive is a widow. Okay, in the ancient world, some of the widows were benefactors of the church. Okay, they provided the houses, the church met in their houses. It's not always a position of financial suffering, but often it is. I've got the number here. There's estimated 258 million widows in the world. And apparently 1 in 10 suffer from not just poverty, but extremely severe poverty. Even in Australia, it wasn't. We think that the care for the widows from the government has been a long-term thing. Less than 100 years ago was the first widow's pension in Australia. 1926 was the first New South Wales pension for widows. It was until 42 that Australia, the Commonwealth, took over the care of widows with a pension. Before that, there was no pension for those who'd lost their husbands. In fact, there's a day, International Day for the Widows. Does anyone know what the date is? Probably don't. 23rd of June. And you're probably thinking the International Day of a Widow was something probably set up a very long time ago in a different world. Actually, the United Nations set it up in 2011. Okay? Because they thought it was such a need across the whole world that in 2011, we better set up this day for the care of the widow. Let me just take you to some of the parts of the world. India. Not all parts of India, but there are some parts of India that widows get treated abysmally. And I'm particularly reading from a National Geographic article, came out in 2017. But in India, there's a town in India where there are half dozen widows on this corner, a dozen widows in this corner, and there are literally 10,000 widows who are just living on the streets or living in very small communities in poverty. And they all come to this one town, which is not very big. And I'll just give you a bit of what the article says. Sometimes their relatives bring them, depositing the family widow in the ashram or on a street corner, and then they drive away. Imagine that. Even relatives who don't literally drive a widow from the family home can make it plain every day that her role among them has ended, that a widow in India, forever burdened by the misfortune of having outlived a husband, is physically alive but socially dead. There's a story about a particular widow there in this town in India, and it describes her. She sat cross-legged atop a bedsheet, even though her limbs were contorted by age, and she was able to walk only by bending over, almost double and shuffling. Her white sari was draped loosely over the top of her head. In India, the shearing of a new widow's hair was once a common practice to announce the end of her womanly appeal. And the widow, Adhikari, appeared to have recently reshorn. She said, "I kept it this way because my hair was his." And she squinted at her guests, the foreigner and the interpreter, as though perplexed by the question. "A barber comes and cuts it for me. A woman's greatest beauty is her hair and her clothes. Once my husband was not there, what would I do with it?" How old was this woman now? 96. How old was she when her husband died? 17. It's a tragedy when you hear the story of someone who feels like they've lost all womanly appeal. When they get treated badly, when people get dumped on the streets by their family or get pressured into leaving their homes. In Uganda, particularly in the rural parts of Uganda, there's a thing that they call the widow's inheritance. When a husband dies in some of the rural communities, what happens? All the neighbours, particularly family relatives, come in and take whatever they can. The crops, the furniture they like, the kids. And these widows just, it should be the time when everyone comes around to support the widow, but what they do is there's an opportunity to take what they want. And it's horrific. And the National Geographic story was talking about the common problem with the police officers is they've just got case after case after case after case. And the problem is they're not that they don't want to deal with it. They just haven't got time. And it's just no justice happens for the widows. And here's an example of one particular man who was arrested for doing such a cruel thing to a widowed woman. And you might think, well, that's the other side of the world. But you know what people do in Australia? They don't drive their elderly relatives to a town and dump them, but they drive them to somewhere and they dump them and never ever visit them ever again. And do you know what people do to elderly relatives in Australia?
They come in and try to take their stuff. And they try to get dibs on who can get the possession. It happens here. God's word has so much to say about the treatment of widows. The widows in the word of God are so different. It says in the words of God, you must not mistreat any widow or the fatherless child. It says in Deuteronomy, do not deny justice to a foreigner or a fatherless child, and do not take a widow's garment as a security. Now I'm going to ask you, if you believe this, to say amen with me in the next one. The one who denies justice to a foreigner, a fatherless child, or a widow is cursed. And all the people say, there are commandments in the law, like there's one here, that if you're a farmer, you shouldn't, and you have olive trees, you shouldn't collect all the olives, you should allow some for the widows and the vulnerable to be able to provide for themselves. If you have crops, to allow some for them to take. It's God's word has a real place for them, particularly this verse and many like it. Psalm 68 verse 5, God in his holy dwelling is a father to the fatherless and a champion of widows. It's the character of God that he cares for the orphan and for the widow. Learn to do what's good, seek justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. Remember I showed you that picture of all the widow's causes that were unpleaded for? Where they were getting ripped off. The call for God's people is echo the heart of God and care for those who are most vulnerable. And you might think that's just Old Testament, Andrew. There's so much in the Old Testament about caring for widows. But actually, James, the next one on the screen, is from the New Testament. And the call for God's people, when he tries to summarize what pure and undefiled religion before God our Father is this, to look after, or literally visit, orphans and widows in their distress. And keep oneself unstained by the world. Yes, being a Christian is by being godly and keeping ourselves unstained from the world, but it's also about practically helping the orphan and the widow who God's own heart beats after. Widows in the world, widows in the word. And we really need to see these precious people through the word of God, through that lens of the word of God. And today we're actually looking at this passage here. This passage is not the only thing the Bible says about widows. The heartbeat of how we should protect and care and love anyone who's in those situations is throughout the Bible. But this is a particular situation in the church. How do we prioritize? What are we meant to do? And it's honoring and supporting widows in the community of God. It says support widows who are genuinely widows. And this word support is actually the word honor. But it's a good word. Support's not a bad translation because it's support and do something about. Like, it's not just have the idea in your head you should honor the widows, but it's support and do something about. But what's really good about the word honor is, this is actually not a sympathy charity case. This is actually lift up. Lift up the widows. Honor them. It's the same word used later on, honor the elders. It's lift up. And honor, and in your support, honor those who are widows and who are genuinely widows. And one of the issues they're dealing with is who particularly is in need. The passage tells us that there is a responsibility of the family, and that's massive. You see what it says? But if any widows has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness toward their own family first. And to repay their parents, for this pleases the Lord. There's a song we sing. I love it. It's Colin Buchanan's song. It's a kid's song. Practice being godly. Anyone ever heard of that one? Practice being godly. Yeah, that's two people have heard it. That's great. Practice being godly. And instead of it's talking about, we've got to keep practicing being godly. And if you want to practice being godly, look no further than caring for a widow in your family. That's how you practice being godly. And you notice the call is not just for children, but for grandchildren to be responsible too, for the widows and their family. And so that actually makes me think that this passage has a lot to say to this whole congregation right now, let alone in the future. It's interesting, he talks about that way you can repay your parents. It's interesting, the normal way and the normal pattern of life, it says in 2 Corinthians 12, is that parents provide for their kids. That is the normal and the right way. The parents, and that's the delight of a parent to provide for their kids. But there's a particular situation when things don't work out as you plan that the kids should provide for their parents. And it's the right thing to do. when you're working out your financial planning for the rest of your life, who here has thought that they might actually save some money just in case something happens to their parents? Who here has thought that they might turn things around just if their parents need that? I know I've got a couple of my kids in this congregation, so there's a word for you now. But it also pleases God. When a family cares for their own family, that pleases the Lord. And there are people here who've actually spent much time this year caring for elderly relatives. And I know that's really, really hard, and it's a difficult thing. There are people here who've cared for someone in their family who's gone through really hard times, and particularly someone who's a widow, perhaps. That actually pleases the Lord when you do that. And so for those who have done it, can I just say, be encouraged. You're doing what pleases God. For those who feel like I'm doing it, but I want to give up, or it's too hard to keep visiting, that pleases the Lord. When you do it as a family member, in some cultures, I think they go too far and they see that kids are just an opportunity for someone to provide for you when you get old. I think our culture goes the other way too far. That is, we don't care about the previous generations. You notice what it says, that they should do this and please the Lord. But look at the last verse on the screen. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. I've never been in a situation where I can't provide food for my family. Quite a few years ago when we were studying, I did reach points where I went to shopping centres at Christmas time and was devastated that I couldn't afford the things I wanted to buy my kids. If you're a parent, you know what that feels like. Most parents hit that sometime. But almost none of us have been through a situation, I'm sure there might be someone, where you could actually pay to provide for your kids. You have in your head, you should be able to provide the food for your children. But this actually verse is not saying that we just provide down, we provide up. We're not just interested in carrying down the family tree. We're actually, if things fall apart, we're going to provide up the family tree. It's denying the faith is not about your children. It's about mistreating your parents. It's about neglecting your grandma. It's saying you're denying the faith if you don't make sure that they're actually cared for, if they're in desperate need, particularly in the situation of a widow. That's a huge call, right? Well, there's a particular responsibility of Timothy's church, and his responsibility is to say, you've got all these widows to care for, and that was a huge part of the early church, to care for the widows, when there's no social security, when the whole community was poor, when people were being cut off from their families for claiming the name of Jesus, and in Acts 6 we see the story of widows being looked after, and it took spirit-filled people to do this. But it's interesting, the responsibility is immediately, those who've got families, they look after their own families. And then he gives other criterion and things like this. And what's interesting about this, it's actually, he says, I want you to care for godly widows. They're the ones on the list. And he said, you know, talks about particularly those who crying out to the Lord day and night, putting their hope in God and in their petitions and prayers, not people who are just living for this world. And it even says the next part of it, no widow should be placed on the official support list unless she's at least 60 years old. You know, we have this inbuilt thing, and I think it's a right thing. It's probably even from verses like this in the Bible, that there's a time of your life where it's okay to retire. It's okay to stop, and it's okay to receive, and it's okay. And I think this is the point. This is the time. There is a time for where it's, we want to be supporting when they can't work, when they can't start a new family, when they can't have any other, we've got no other options, where they must be supported somehow. And it says if someone is well-known, wife of one husband, well-known for good works, that is, brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, devoted herself to every good work. It's not about enrolling younger widows, because actually, I think this is a list. Okay, this is a list they're talking about here. This is not just the general Christian care for widows. This is a particular list where the church covenants to look after widows, and the widows covenant to be faithful in their prayers and good service of the church. It's actually a particular list, and it's not a charity case, it's an honoring. And that's why it's honoring the godly widows. It almost feels counterintuitive to how we might think about social security, but it's actually saying particularly care for those who have for their whole life trusted in God. Or as long as they've been Christians, have been walking in obedience. I think the tragedy of this is, it's interesting, these are widows who have brought up children, and something must have happened to the children because they can't provide for these widows. Maybe this is a situation of the widow whose children have died, or the situation of the widow whose children have just walked out on them, who don't care, who aren't believers. And there's a call for the church to do that. And it's a particular interest in that. And that's why I think it says don't enroll other people, don't enroll younger people in this particular list, because this is a covenant, a commitment you're making to them and they're making to you. And it's an ongoing commitment, and it's a way to honour those who are older widows. There's a wonderful story in the Bible that really has the two categories of widows. This is the book of Ruth. Ruth is a younger widow. Her mother-in-law is an older widow. Ruth, the younger widow, goes out, and it's beautiful. She goes out and she works and gleans, like gathers those leftover bits in the field, and she provides for her mother-in-law, who doesn't apparently do that. And Ruth goes out and gets married again. And her mother-in-law is in that category of the older widow, I think, and I think Ruth is in the category of the younger widow. And they're both godly, wonderful women. And there's something about this delighting in the faithfulness. Look at that last verse. If any believing woman has widows in her family, she should help them, and the church shouldn't be burdened so that it can help those who are genuinely widows, those who are widows without any other help. The idea is earlier on, I think the verse actually was a command for men that you've got to provide for your own household, and that's up, not just down. And here there's a call for women to care about their own family members, and not just their own kids if they have them. Well, we're going to draw some thoughts and applications from this. I just want to apply some of this and look, just think about how this all works out. And there's a lot more. I'm sure you have lots of questions about what the passage means. But I just put a few principles here. Principle one, the Bible speaks on topics we need to hear. I love the fact that you can read parts of the Word of God. And if you just read in the Bible to find yourself in the Bible, what will you find? Yourself. You won't find God. If you're reading the Bible to find God, you'll see the heart of God in the Bible, and He will show you things that aren't even on your radar. You might think, why on earth would I speak to a predominantly young adult congregation about widows? Why? Because you are people who need to have the heart of God on widows and orphans. Because not just now, but in the future, you will be caring for people. You will be like the 8 a.m. service. They care for each other, and many of them are widowed. And they really look after each other in deep and profound ways. And it is a beautiful thing to behold. Well, the Bible speaks on topics we need to hear, and it speaks on things that are slightly different to the way we might understand them too. Second principle, family has responsibility up and not just down. I think this is, if you look at the command, honour your father and mother. Most of us, when we hear that, honour your father and mother, we think it's mainly talking about kids obeying the parents. But do you know what? Whenever Jesus quotes it, He's talking about people honouring and looking after the elderly parents. I think there's only two references in the New Testament for it actually applying to kids. And there's more references for applying honour your father and mother being a statement about caring for your elderly relatives. There's an old song, and it's going to like be lost on most of you. I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but there's a song called The Cat's in the Cradle. Has anyone heard that one? It's the most guilt-inducing song ever written. Some people know what I'm talking about. But the song is all about how, you know, when the kids are little, the kid says, "Dad, I want to hang out with you." And the dad says, I'm busy now. And then when the kid grows up, the dad says, "Hey, kid, I want to hang out with you." And the kid says, "No, Dad, I'm busy now. And this kind of idea is a sad, sad reality of life. And I think as Christian people, we've adopted the worldview that says we only care for those who are younger than us, and we forget to honor those who are older than us. And God's word has an encouragement for us here. Thirdly, the church must not be a donut. What I mean by that is, What's the essence of a donut? It misses the center. See, sometimes in our interest to do good things, to be helping those around us, who do we miss? Caring for the people who have their whole life, or as long as they've been a Christian, been praying, serving, looking after the needs of others, and they've had the misfortune of great loss. And sometimes we think about charity and we think we've got to do good works outside and we forget the people in the midst, in the middle. This is, I think, the foundational verse about prioritizing good works. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all. So there's opportunity, care for all, but especially those who belong to the household of faith. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you what? That you love who? The outside world? One another. There's a real call for us to make sure that we care for those in our community who are in need. Anything else we do is the overflow of that work at the center. And that's, I think, why it calls us to particularly honor in this situation those widows who have undergone great loss, who have been particularly serving for all of these years, and then something tragic has happened to them, and then there is the call to look after them in their need, particularly those who don't have family. And just someone has spent all their time serving the church and their kids were not interested in Christ and have basically abandoned them. And imagine if when they get older and they're in desperate need and the church doesn't care for them. What an indictment on the church of God. If it denies the faith that a family mistreats their own family members, doesn't it deny the faith when a church does the same thing to their spiritual family? And so the call is us to lift up our game in this regard. Principle 4, we can also care outside our own situation. I think overflowing from our care from within, we can care for those on without. We can have interest in caring for the widows in other parts of the world, for those suffering. And what really warmed my heart when I was reading the National Geographic story is that it kept on talking about the International Justice Mission was actually working in Uganda, and that's a Christian organization trying to pleading the cause. That's a way for Christians as lawyers to go and do their best and plead the cause of the orphans and the widows. And there is opportunity for overflowing. We have a Christmas appeal. We have tin bins every week. Many of those go to the very vulnerable and underprivileged. Many go to widows. Fifth, some of these principles also apply to other forms of helping. I did something very deliberate in this talk. I deliberately focused on widows. And I resisted every inclination at the point early on to say, look, this applies to every group of suffering of vulnerable people, because I think that's actually very unhelpful to do. I think you've got to just let the Bible speak into its own category, and the category this passage is talking about widows. Let's just let that sit and feel what God's word says about this. But what it says there has massive applications to other groups that need help too. Remembering that family needs to step up first, and remembering that we particularly have to care for those in the heart of the community who serve Christ. Before we overflow to others, which can sometimes feel more glamorous, and we have a responsibility in our families to care for each other. Well, the heart of God and the heart of his people, let us remind us about the heart issue. Before all the logistics about the list and things, well, we need most and foremost at the heart of God. God is the father of the fatherless, the champion of widows. We're called in Isaiah to do what the prophets say, learn to do what's good, seek justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fathers and plead the widow's cause. And remember that pure religion before God our Father is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. It would be a tragedy if next Saturday night we gather, 400 people gather for the carols outside here. And over Christmas, as we sing the songs of Jesus, if as a church we celebrate Christmas and rejoice in the Lord about all these things, it'd be a tragedy if as a community we're singing the praises of Jesus but didn't have the heart of God for the widows and the orphans and other people. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for your word, and we pray that you would just continue to write in our hearts. Give us the heart that beats after your own heart, that defends those who suffer so much. Thank you that in our country there is so much help for those who have been widowed financially, but so often there is great lack when it comes to relational help, when it comes to family support. And Father, we pray for those of us. We thank God for those of us who've been caring for adults, at the elderly members of our own family. We just want to pray that you'd encourage people doing that. I just want to thank you, God, for the example of many people in our congregation who've done that already. And we pray for anyone here who just maybe needs to step up their game a bit more in this, that you might spur them to do that. Give them creativity too, Lord. Help us to be a church that cares. The members care for their own family members, but also to care for each other and those in our church who are widows. Father, we pray that you might give us the heart of Jesus Christ, your heart, Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen.